Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's a big show. Of the hit Netflix show, The Big Show Show. I am, of course, one of your co-hosts, Sun Guy, along with Dave the Beast Barnett and Nick Iggy. Nick, we're doing this. We're all the way live in this now.
Oh, say that again?
We are all the way live. We are in the Big Show Show Show.
We are all
the way live. Thing right here, we're doing it.
This is the biggest show of shows of shows. It's bigger than WrestleMania.
I think so. Beast Barnett, have you been up all week anticipating this moment?
I've been nervous. I've been shaking, but I think we're making it.
I think we are, and I'm sure people are familiar, otherwise they may be confused right now. The Big Show Show, a Netflix original program, starring, of course, former WWE superstar The Big Show. It is a scripted comedy program, runs half an hour. We're going to be breaking down episode one, the very first episode of The Big Show Show. Beast Barnett, why don't you do the honors? Why don't you take us through a little bit of a recap on what happened episode one?
Oh, let's see here. Let's see what I can remember. I did take all the opportunity to finally get myself ready and prepared and finally watch it today. Remember the show was starting out with our protagonist, the Big Show. He has a family in Tampa, Florida, and his daughter from a previous marriage is coming down to live with them soon. So that's the big setup for all the antics of the family comedy, is a daughter out of place in a new family, and a father trying to find his way of making it all work. But that father being an ex-wrestler leads to antics and everything. I believe the show started with the aforementioned daughter moving in. Lola, I believe, was her name. Was that the right one?
Lola
was
the oldest. Daughter moving in, yes.
Oh, okay. Yes, and she was on a plane, you know, explaining the premise of everything that I just explained to some old lady who was talking about her cats or something like that.
I think she named her dogs after her fourth husband or something like that. I think she said.
You're exactly right, Nick Iggy.
I know these things.
Absolutely.
I think Nick Iggy might be more equipped to do this than I did. I didn't take too many notes, but I think all the notes might be in Nick Iggy's head.
I didn't take any notes, and I watched it like a week and a half ago. So I just remember for some reason she said, like, I don't know why that stood out to me. You continue. You're doing a swell job.
Oh, well, thank you. I think soon after that, then we get introduced to the main Big Show family unit. I don't believe the name White was used at all in this episode. But we got Big Show doing the hair of his youngest daughter, JJ, and trying to braid it to comedic effect. And then there was some reference about the Big Show always braiding Mick Foley's hair and he loving it. And the part where I connected most is when JJ complained about Big Show always comparing her to Mick Foley. I think as a father, I often compare my children to Mick Foley as well. It's disappointing.
I can confirm that you do compare your children to Mick Foley.
I'm glad that it's confirmed. And then we go on to, let's see. I don't know if it gets to the whole room situation next. Or, yeah, a little bit about that, I believe. The middle daughter comes in and talking about how her life is going to be uprooted and that her... And they tell her room's going to be taken, and she shows how dramatic she is, showing she's the dramatic character and everything like that. And then they do some weird thing to cheer her up where the Big Show's in a giant shirt and the young daughter's on her shoulders, and they're growling about candy, and the middle daughter's a doctor all of a sudden. And they chase each other around the house. And I guess that was supposed to be what families do.
I do it.
Do you do that on a regular basis?
I throw my cats on my shoulders and I chase my wife around. And I thought all families did that.
Yeah,
I think it would have been cooler if JJ got Big Show on her shoulders, though.
I don't know. JJ's small. I don't know if the Big Show would even be able to get one of his legs sturdy enough there to be lifted.
You never know, though.
That's your accurate point. You never know.
She's a tough cookie.
But there are child labor laws, so they probably have someone there to block that if they were going to put that in the episode.
Touche.
I think after that, we move on to, I think then we do the little scene where the dramatic middle sister is staging a sit-in in her room so she won't have to give up her room to the incoming daughter, and then make some references to Ruth Bader Ginsburg and AOC and Leslie Knope to put, you know, put it in our heads that she is the feminist caricature of our TV series. I thought it was pretty neat that AOC has already made it to becoming a pop culture reference.
Hell yeah.
And, So I think soon after that, we go to Big Show picking up his daughter at the airport, and we have our first Mark moment with a police officer who identifies Big Show as John Cena. And then when he is corrected by the Big Show's youngest daughter, he's like, "Oh yeah, that's right. You're the Big Show. I'm a huge fan, even though I compared you or mistook you, the 7-foot giant, for John Cena, the guy who's on TV all the time, and me being a huge wrestling fan would definitely know the difference."
I was like, really? Come on, guys. No, I thought the same thing. Because John Cena, you can't see him. And Big Show, you
exactly.
definitely can. So he's not a big fan. He just knew who he was.
I'm thinking the cop had never seen John Cena because you can't see him. And so when he was that close, he's like, "I've never seen John Cena before. Maybe this is him. He's a pretty big guy."
Perhaps.
Maybe, who knows? Who even knows?
But then we get the daughter deboarding the plane and coming out of the airport to her father, the Big Show, carrying this police officer. With all the balloons and everything, and you know, embarrassing her immediately, as a sitcom father is wont to do, but I don't know why the police officer had to be cradled in his arms, but I guess that's what the police officer's one wish when meeting a wrestler is.
And then Big Show says something like, "You know, this happens more often than you'd think."
This often happens with fans. So I guess there's like, you stop the signings every once in a while when somebody wants to be cradled.
Yes, that got me good.
I could definitely see fans coming up to the Big Show and wanting a picture like that, though. Especially like more casual type fans.
Well, you know, the cop said something like, "Even though I'm a cop, this is the safest I've felt." And I think we all could feel that way, Someone much bigger. It's like you're a child again.
I guess I can understand. But at least we all know now that it is okay to ask Big Show this when we see him out in public.
Exactly.
And he will grant our wishes.
Oblige.
To be carried like a child.
Imagine the joy in all of our lives if he was to cradle all three of us at once.
What?
If anyone can do it, it's him.
I think we're onto something. That's our open dream now.
I think I figured out some cover art for this show if it runs off to be a smash hit. But soon after that... She comes home with the unfortunate news that she won't be able to have her own room, but she seems pretty game for it and everything, and understanding and trying to make things work. So she has to share a room with the youngest child, who we find out. As one of the schemers, I'd have to say, if I had a favorite character from this first episode, it'd have to be JJ. She's like a live-action Louise Belcher.
Yeah, JJ is definitely the highlight of the show, especially like her and Big Show's back and forth banter. Like that relationship right there is the best one.
Oh yeah. Absolutely, when she'll say something ridiculous and Big Show will give some type of the reaction look that I'd expect from like Tim Heidecker or something like that. It's just ridiculously over the top and great.
Yep, and she's somewhat of a carny. So I've definitely got to appreciate that. A carny.
Carny,
she's always
yes,
bamboozling
absolutely.
People. You know what? I love it. She's got a special place in my heart.
Absolutely. Yeah, even the moment, one of my favorite moments was, wasn't even with her on screen, but when Big Show was talking to the teacher about the time she stole a boat and almost got to the Keys, but had to come back for a PB&J. let's see. I believe then soon. I believe that was might have been like the next scene after that, because that's when we find out that there is one of the main points of having our older daughter come down. She's really looking forward to being in the female hockey team at the school, which I don't know how long this was planned or how long she was told this, but I mean, I figured that they might be able to guarantee that, you know, when you say that there's a female hockey team at the school, there has to be some way to verify that before you're going along and saying, oh yeah, I guess there is. There's a guys hockey team.
I think Big Show was just thinking like, oh yeah, there's a hockey team. Like, it's 2020. Women are allowed to do anything these days, as they should. You know, everyone's more open-minded. It's not guy side, girl side. Everything's intergender these days. So I'm sure he just assumed there's a hockey team. So yeah, there's girls on it. And she, you know, being a trusting daughter, trusted her father in the Big Show. And she's like, oh, there's a hockey team? Well, that's a perfect reason to go down. But big old Paul didn't do his research.
Nope.
I think it was also a point where she presumed when he said that there is a hockey team that since she's from Minnesota. Yeah, there's going to be more female hockey teams where she was from. So when he said there's a hockey team, he may not have differentiated. She may have just presumed that there would be a hockey team for her to join since she was accustomed to that being from Minnesota. And then when she gets to Florida, not as much.
Exactly. It could be either way. But either way, they were wrong, unfortunately.
Yes, and then that's when the point when old Lola starts to get really upset and kind of things aren't really going her way. She also lost her bags at the airport, and there's some good old airport humor that I, you know, skipped over. But, you know, it's just more part of all these things that aren't going her way, and now's when she really starts to get upset, and Big Show starts to also get upset that he hasn't made things as perfect as he wanted to. So that's when we get to the point where Big Show needs advice from his wife. So when you want advice from your wife, the one thing you ask is to have them shave your head.
Oh, yeah.
Does this track sign guy as a man who used to have a shaven head?
I wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't either. But apparently that's what they do. She even mentions the only time that she knows Big Show needs advice is when he asks her to shave his head. Which, you know, that's what we had. The heartfelt scene about his wife giving him advice and while she shaves his head. And she tells him not to really interfere in anything, but of course, old Big Show, the wacky sitcom dad, has to not listen to the advice and go talk to the gym teacher. So I guess he's a very short man. So that's where the comedy juxtaposition comes in this scene, where the authority in the situation, the gym teacher, who argues with Big Show about What is it that the gym teacher calls Big Show that he doesn't like to that sets
double
them off?
Double stuff.
Double stuff. Yeah, after a heated argument, he calls Big Show double stuff, which causes Big Show to hang him on a wall, and to the embarrassment of his daughter, who, along with the rest of the school, sees that he's done such a thing after she asked him not to interfere. Let's see. I'm drawing a blank. Oh, I think this is about the time when all the daughters convene. There's been the whole... go ahead.
No, before that, the middle daughter, Mandy? Was it Mandy?
Mandy,
yes.
She, there were people coming from out of town that were occupying her room, so she went out to give it up.
Orlando folks.
Yes, people from Orlando came.
She staged a sit-in with her Orlando friends.
Basically a sit-in, and some of them she didn't even know. And then, so a bunch of kids were staying there, so she wouldn't have to give up her room to Lola, in which Lola had to go stay in JJ's room, who's the youngest, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, of course, she had to settle in there and deal with JJ, but I will say, with them... coming, like, two daughters coming from one of the mothers and the other one coming from a completely different mother and just having the same dad, all three of them got along together very well, which I actually liked. There wasn't like, oh, you're her daughter and your mom stole my dad, blah, blah, blah. There wasn't anything like that. So I like that they already seem like sisters because they've probably met and hung out before.
Right.
So, you know, even if they haven't grown up together, I'm sure she's came to visit and whatnot.
Yeah,
right.
They definitely said that visited before.
Yeah. And then after that, I think because Big Show hung the coach on the door, they let her on the team. They let Lola on the team, but she's like, well, they just let me on because of you, Dad, but they're still not going to take me seriously. So then there was a practice that went on.
I believe that was the tryouts for the team, is that they let her try out
because of Big Show.
Because of Walter. Yes.
What he did and hanging old buddy on the wall.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So I guess they let her try out, but they wouldn't check her or get aggressive with her because she was just a little girl, right?
Right.
Right. So so Big Show, of course, sticks his nose in it again and brings JJ because, you know, you got to have JJ everywhere.
Absolutely. Whenever JJ's not on the screen, all the other characters need to be asking where JJ is.
Yeah, right? Let's get a JJ spinoff.
Yeah. The JJ show.
The big JJ show. And then Big Show lets Lola check him into the wall, and everyone's like, oh, that's so cool. Not really.
Yep.
I don't think anyone came up and said anything.
Well, they all applauded, and it was like the coolest thing in the world, it seemed to them. I mean, they didn't say anything, but they all seemed impressed, weirdly enough.
Yeah, I would be impressed.
I think they were mostly impressed because she basically checked him from the hip, which hit about, I'm guessing, mid-thigh on the Big Show.
Yeah. You go down fast, you can hit the thigh, though.
And knotted up.
He did, for sure.
And yeah, at Big Show's age and everything, and all the all the wear and tear of his body, I'm sure. You know.
Oh yes, surgeries and everything.
Exactly. I was impressed at the restraint of the series to not send Big Show like through the glass or something like that.
Right. Oh, that would have been great if they made it a whole bunch of destruction. Just everything fell down. The building exploded from it, but everyone got out safely.
Right. I was expecting something of the sort.
Oh, it would have been great. Oh, and then there was something else going on. I don't know when this happened in the episode, but Lola texted her mother, like, this isn't as good as I thought it was going to be. I think I want to come back home.
Yeah, there was a thread of, like, interstitials of her texting her mom every once in a while, telling her all the things going wrong. And by the end of the episode, her mom was ready to bring her to Brussels, I believe. So I guess that's why she is moving down here, because her mom has moved from Minnesota to Brussels. I wonder why anyone would do that or what would cause somebody from Minnesota to move to Brussels. But
she said it was work-related.
They
didn't make a point when she was talking to Dorothy. She said that she was moving to Belgium for business, and then Dorothy said, oh, she must be in the waffle business.
Yes, the waffle business. Yep.
I didn't catch that. That was good.
But yeah, the texting was like a recurring theme through the first episode. Lola didn't actually outright say like she wanted to move or she wasn't liking it. She'd say that it wasn't going the best or that her bags were lost, but she didn't give all the specifics. But when the mom texted her late in the episode and said that if she was miserable, she would figure things out and she could move to Belgium with her, that's when Lola kind of looked at the rest of the family and said, no, things are going to work out. So it was kind of a theme through the whole episode with the texting.
Oh, yeah. Before that, didn't they come up with that big plan?
Yeah, the big show had the big plan.
Yeah, I think they all wanted, like, Mandy wanted the kids out of their room because they were just overtaking it. I think JJ just wanted to be a mastermind. Oh, and JJ was actually selling tickets for people to do the sit-in with her. So she was making money off of it. Smart woman. Very smart
exactly.
Woman, JJ is.
Mandy, they had a little conversation about the gate.
Yeah, yep. Keeping the wrestling alive there. So they pretty much came up with this plan to get the kids out, where they kind of agree with Big Show to get everyone out. Oh, and then Big Show and the wife, Casey. They're like, you know what? I'm going to get this done. I don't know. He said something like, I'm not going to be a pushover, you know, I'm just going to tell him how it is. And then he was a pushover right when he went upstairs.
Yep. Okay. And then immediately the daughter flips and says she wants to, you know, she agrees to the way they want to do it. That whole situation there got confusing. But then we got Big Show yelling at some children to get out of the bedroom. So it was all worth it, I guess.
It's pretty horrifying.
But if you were dependent on his taxes, then he welcomed you to stay, apparently. He made that distinction very clear.
Yeah, I wonder who isn't his child but is a dependent on his taxes, besides his wife. I mean, he said, I think it's part of his family or dependent on his taxes. So I want to know who that exception at the end there was.
Maybe we'll find out in future episodes.
Maybe that's what Urkel's role, you know.
Oh, maybe IRS comes in.
Big Show's been cheating on those
Texas.
That would
be great if Mike Rotundo had a cameo.
I can only hope. I know Rikishi's on at some point, and that's really all I want to see.
We're going to get a handful of cameos in the season before we're through.
Who?
We're going to have a handful of them. We're going to have Mick Foley.
No. Jim Neidhart, obvious. He did not make it to guest star on the Big Show show. RIP.
That's true. Although I think he would have been great with that.
He would have. He would have been great.
Well, you guys already gave us your favorite character of the episode. You both agreed, JJ. I think she stole the first episode. I also thought one of the better characters in here, not too surprising, the Big Show. I thought he did an outstanding job. I don't think he had ever done sitcom acting as far as television. He's done a few movies where he was doing a comedic character, but I don't recall him ever doing a sitcom. I thought he did great the first time out. What did you guys think?
Oh, yeah. I think right behind JJ, he was my favorite character, or just favorite actor altogether. I think he did a very good job. He seemed comfortable. It didn't seem like he was being forced to do anything. It wasn't cringy to the point of being like, oh, he's trying too hard. So I think he did well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If anything, it was the lines that were ridiculous, but he'd say them with, no hesitation at all, and, and all the conviction in the world, and make the silly, reaction takes and everything like that. None of it seemed, like Nick said, forced or anything like that. He did it naturally, no matter how ridiculous it was, and it made it more enjoyable, even when it was a little hokey. His commitment, brought heart to it.
Nick, was there any character or actor on the show in episode one that you thought didn't work out very well?
I don't like the gym teacher.
Coach Flutter?
I was not into him. I don't know why. He was on screen and I was just like, I'm not buying it. I'm not into this guy. Give me someone new.
Beesh, what about you? Anyone that you did not think worked?
I kind of didn't really like Mandy in this episode. I have a feeling they'll probably, flesh her out better in the more upcoming episodes, but she kind of did, it was a self-fulfilling prophecy that she did kind of suffer from MSS in this episode, and her character was kind of a broad feminist stereotype for a while, and her motivations, would flop all over the place at the plot's whim, if you will. But I'm hoping to be wrong in the future, but right now, Mandy's probably at the bottom for me.
I'm going to agree with Nick. I thought Coach Flutter wasn't really that good. He was trying to be way over the top with being silly, which from the gym teacher you wouldn't think would jive if he's supposed to be gym teacher and the hockey coach, and he can't tell that the Bigfoot's over 5'8". That seemed ridiculous. And then he randomly wanted the Big Show to hang a picture for him when he was clearly able to hang the picture on the wall himself. It made no sense.
Immediately insulted him after asking him to do something.
Yeah, called him double stuff for the second time after he was warned.
Had to double it up. Double up the double stuff.
Now, the first episode has started some things that we'll see continue on in future episodes. There were some setups. I thought they were really nicely done where things got mentioned that are going to be points in future episodes. So we got the introduction of Mick Foley being a focal point. He got mentioned, and we'll hear and see more of Mick Foley later. We also had a setup that the Big Show is scared of mascots. He made that a point in this episode, and that comes into play in a big way in future episodes. And we also have
I didn't catch that. I want to interject here real quick. I didn't catch that, but I'm very excited now. I haven't seen any of the other episodes. I just watched the first one. I'm going to do it one by one. Okay. But if we get to see Big Show fight a mascot, this will all be worth it.
I'm totally in on that. Let's get it. Let's get that going. Let's get all those mascots. Let's get Big Show versus the mascot.
Yes.
I'm not going to spoil anything for anyone, but it's going to come into play later. I won't say how major or minor a point it will be, but it is something that we're going to see. And then we didn't get into it very much, but it also started the series-long arc of the haunted house. We didn't talk about that a whole lot, but Big Show's wife is a real estate agent, and there was a house she wanted to sell because she thought it would get her a promotion and they would put her picture on a bus bench, but the house is apparently haunted, and so she wasn't able to sell that house very easily. Nick, what did you think of the whole story with Big Show's wife trying to unload a haunted house on someone?
I hope they do something with that. Again, I've only seen one episode, so I'm not sure. But I hope they do something with that because that could be like a fun thing to play around with. If it's not going to be used in the future, I think they could have done something a little more than just a haunted house with it.
It's going to be a series long thing. That's going to be a constant.
Oh, good. Then I'm into it. I'm excited to see where that whole thing goes then.
Beast, what about you? How do you like the haunted house aspect?
It provided one of the best lines on the episode where she says, Big Show brings up that, isn't that a haunted house? And his wife's like, oh, that's just one of those myths. That ended up being true. I like that line.
That was a good one for sure. Well, I think we've hit most of everything that went on in episode one. Nick, anything that we may have left out that you can think of right now?
No, I don't think so, except for at the very end of the episode, they're all eating food. I don't know why this bothers me. They're all eating food, and the mom asked, like, okay, everyone say... It was say something like good that happened today, or say something you're thankful for.
Yeah, the best part of your day.
The best part of your day. And they asked Mandy, and Mandy said it, but no one else got to talk. Like, Mandy said her part, and then they all started eating. Which I'm like, I thought everyone was going to go around.
Right? Yeah, I thought that was going to be like the big wrap up thing that, you know, brings home all the points and all that, but, you know, they just kind of moved on quickly from it.
Cut short, and then that's when Lola texted her mom and said, I think it's going to work out. And then she grabbed food off the Big Show's plate instead of the food that was sitting right in the middle of the table.
Good. Now, I think they dropped the whole best part of your day thing completely. I don't remember it being... In any of the future episodes, it was a good idea, like B said, as a wraparound at the very end to kind of tie everything together as they close out, but apparently they didn't want to go with it.
Well, oh well. Maybe next season.
Hopefully, maybe if we can get the producers and the writers on board with us, I'm sure they're going to listen to us every week, and they'll make a point of bringing that back.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
Maybe
hashtag best part of your day.
Maybe they'll do it for the big JJ show.
That would be great. Beast, anything that you think we missed?
No, I think we did pretty good. I'm glad we had Nick Agee here who is going to, you know, seems like you said you watched it like a week ago and you still had all these details. So I think we've got a good brain on our show.
I think we do.
Big brain.
It popped into my head real quick. One thing I thought was weird, I don't think we touched on this, when Lola's bags were missing still from the airline, then Big Show's wife said that Lola could borrow her pajamas. I don't know how a pair of pajamas was going to help this girl when she was going to high school or to the store or whatever. That was going to be the only other thing she had to wear.
Hey, you know, maybe she knew the quarantine was coming and everyone else is only wearing pajamas now.
All right.
That's a good theory as any, I guess. But I think we covered episode one in fine fashion. Nick, anything you want to say, plug, promote as we're wrapping this thing up?
You know what? Just go buy There's No Punchline, an independent wrestling joke book written by Nick Agee. And
I've already done so.
I know you did. I hope you've been enjoying that.
Absolutely.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah, that's my biggest promotion right now with everything being locked down right now. Nothing really more to promote.
Beast, you got anything?
I concur by Nick Agee's book. I heard about it and thought it in itself was a joke until I saw people actually having it. And now I'm disappointed that I didn't get it on in on it quicker, but rectify that. So, yes, at Dave Travello. Follow Fine Guy on Twitter, but not literally.
That would be creepy.
Exactly. Oh, but, yeah, that's all for me.
Well, I think that's pretty much it. Definitely tune in next week. We will cover episode 2. Second episode, we will have that for you. Get on board with the Big Show. And we will be back with you for episode 2 next week.
Well, it's the Big Show.